Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. The week is flying by. It is Wednesday. It is a tropical warmth outside. 25 degrees, I think is what it is. Maybe 19. Hell of a warm-up from yesterday.
It's like 30 degrees warmer right now than it was at this time yesterday. And that is no joke. It's in the 20s now. It was like negative 10 or something
yesterday.
At this time. Feels balmy and warm. I'm glad you didn't wear a shirt today. You can see Dusty's chest on the YouTube feed today. Looks good.
Got a very vanilla cream body color.
I mean, yeah, look at that. You need to get some sun, maybe without a New Orleans. Oh, wait, I would say we'd get sun in New Orleans, but they had 7 inches of snow in New Orleans yesterday.
Dang.
Did you see the pictures from Destin? I mean, Florida.
White sanded beaches are now white snow covered beaches.
I mean, good God, man.
Is this the end?
It may be. It really may be. I mean, and then all the folks trying to travel yesterday out of Atlanta, that turned into a disaster yesterday. Couldn't get through security. Everybody's missing flights after the national championship game. And then the snow comes and puts a blizzard in New Orleans and Houston and Florida and all along the Gulf Coast. And so it's interesting to see when folks don't normally get snow and they get snow. I was told you yesterday, I was talking to my friend who's down in Seguin, Texas, and he's like, this morning he's telling people, fill spray bottles with alcohol and spray it on your windshield because it helps the ice dissolve. I'm like, these are things that we've never kind of talked about. You just turned your heat on and had an ice scraper and got out there and did it. But for people who don't have snow normally, could you imagine these folks down in the southern part of the United States trying to drive in snow?
I normally just fill my water bottle up with alcohol and just sip it.
Yeah, right. Not rubbing alcohol, though.
No.
No.
No, I did wonder last night when they were showing the videos of like Bourbon Street and like the French Quarter or whatever, and it was like covered in snow. I was like, I wonder what their news packages look like with the grocery store.
Oh yeah.
Like there's probably nothing left on the aisle.
Nothing.
The hell with bread, milk, and eggs. They got everything.
We're buying everything. We're gonna be snowed in for days. It's probably one of those things too where it all melts like today, you know,
and dissipates
and goes away. So I think for the folks down south who have never experienced this before, enjoy the hell out of it and hope you never have to see it again.
Yeah. And there's probably those some people, the hell it is gonna snow 5 to 8 inches. Hadn't done that since 1895,
that's
Gary.
Right. Yeah.
Which it had. The last time they got that much snow was 1895.
Is it really 1895?
Yeah. That was a stat
Holy
last
cow.
Night. The last time they got anywhere near 8 inches of snow, which is a record in Louisiana, they got 8 inches in 1895.
So it was funny. I don't know if you saw the tweet yesterday from the LSU stadium back in like 4 years ago. Any SEC school that gets snow in their stadium isn't really an SEC school. And then they showed the stadium at LSU covered in snow, and the stadium like requoted went, oops.
Love it.
I mean, clearly taking a shot at Missouri, you know, obviously is what they were doing back in the day. But now everybody's got snow all over this country. So congratulations, make a snowman on the beach. That would be kind of fun.
They showed a video of Livy Dunn walking into the stadium and like the snow just parted its way and melted up.
Speaking of her, did you see that Paul Skeens story that took place yesterday where the 11-year-old kid found the rare Paul Skeens baseball card in a pack of cards? And the Pirates want this card so bad, they've offered him front row season tickets for the next 30 years.
Yes.
What?
Yes. I would do it in a heartbeat.
I mean, wow. Everything. You Wouldn't should look up what
it.
The Pirates offered this 11-year-old kid for would, this trading card. And would, that's where they started. That was the first thing on the list, and it was a bunch of things that they were going to offer him.
I'd want a glove, the seats, a jersey signed, and a meet and greet.
Yeah, I think
with Livy, not him.
No, and that was the thing. I think people are saying now, where's the Livy Dunn experience, you know, in all of
and
this?
And that was offered earlier this year, I think, on social media. I think she did it, too. They were like, if you can find this card, like, they'll make it right if you want to make a trade or something like that, where they were talking about his rookie card because – obviously, that whole renaissance in the card business, Pokemon, all that sort of stuff as well.
It's a Paul Skeens one-of-one rookie debut autograph card, and he found it, right? And this is what the Pirates offered him. 2 season tickets behind home plate for the next 30 years, a meet and greet with Paul Skeens, 2 Paul Skeens autographed jerseys, softball game for 30 at PNC Park with coaching from Pirates alumni, Private tour of Pirate City and Lecom Park at spring training. Pirates game with Livy Dunn and her suite, courtesy of Livy. Yep. Like, you're done, right?
Way, way more than you can imagine. You had me at the very end, and that's all I need.
Yeah, she added that in late. The Pirates had all that other stuff, and then Livy Dunn comes in late and says, yeah, you can sit. Okay, we're in on this one, right?
For your worth.
Man. So I hope that kid goes and cashes in and gets that offer.
You said he's 11-year-old?
11 years, yes, 11 years old.
He doesn't even know yet. No idea. His dad's like, take the deal.
Yeah.
Do it, bro.
I mean, seriously.
Dad, it's a signed card. Just take the deal.
Take the deal. Sell the tickets. 30 years of, like, front row of, you know, Pirates baseball. Even if they're bad, it's still a good seat, right? You can parlay that.
What are the cards worth?
I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't seen anything about that. I mean, clearly a lot if that's what they're offering this guy, right? Usually, like, somebody hits a ball for their 3,000th hit and it goes into the stands, they want to offer you a bat and an autograph from Derek Jeter or something like that. That's not worth it.
Yeah, what did Otani's 50-50 ball go for? It was like over a mil.
Couple million dollars or something like that. Yeah, but this is like a real deal. Like, the Pirates really, really, really came out of the gate with a great offer to start this thing off.
I think Max got the number.
They said they estimated in November that the card could ultimately be worth six figures. I mean, so I'm taking that deal.
Six figures.
That's what they said.
That's it.
That's pretty vague. Is it 100,000 six figures, or is it, like, you know,
999,000?
Yeah, like, what's the six?
Well, but even still, if it's only worth, like, if they would have said seven figures, then it's something to pause on. But at the six figures, you're getting 30 years of season tickets. And
that's as of right now, from him being rookie of the year and could be a Cy Young, could be a perennial all star, could be a Hall of Famer, and could just, that value will forever go up.
But right.
30 years of, you know, the crown royal seats, sign me up. Yeah. I don't care if it was 100 games.
Right.
Hey, you want to go to the game today? Where's your seats? Directly behind home plate.
Right. All food, all beverage included for every game. You're in on that.
When's that Livy Dunn game? None of your damn business, Danny.
Dad and his friends are going to that one. I'll tell you that right now.
I'll tell you this.
This is it. Don't get scared now.
All right, we got a game Sunday that everybody needs to get ready for. It's Wednesday. The season is on the line for both teams. It is the biggest game at Arrowhead, as Bob had said on our Instagram page. It is also the biggest game for Josh Allen in his career. It just so happens to come at the same time as one Fesco said, the biggest game in Arrowhead's history. I do firmly believe that after sleeping on that thought last night. There is no turning back at this point.
Nope.
It is Wednesday. The coaches speak. Mahomes will speak. Allen can really do a lot with his career with a win in this game. I'll give you both sides of this whole opportunity. If Allen wins this game, every loss in the past history of the playoffs to Mahomes and the Chiefs is irrelevant. It doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because this is finally the game that could put him in the category of where Joe Burrow was for the last 3 years. The guy that can do it. Brady was the guy that can do it, but Brady was the guy, still is the guy, and will probably always be the guy unless Mahomes does, in fact, win the three-peat. Josh Allen can also stop history with these. If Josh Allen wins this game, he stops history for the Kansas City Chiefs. The other thing that's kind of alarming in this matchup is the three times the Chiefs have played Buffalo in the playoffs, they have won all three games. Only last year was the time that they beat Buffalo. They went on to win the next game. Obviously, the other two, they lost in the AFC Championship game to Cincinnati. They would lose the other one in the Super Bowl to Tom Brady. So the Chiefs can really be a victim of Josh Allen in his career, where it would be like, yeah, he's 1-3 or whatever against Mahomes in the playoffs, but the one win he did have was in Arrowhead and stopped a three-peat. Now, why this is the biggest game for Arrowhead Stadium and the crowd that watches this game: Mahomes becomes the second winningest quarterback of all time in the playoffs history with a win over Josh Allen, putting him above Joe Montana, putting him only behind Tom Brady, which would be sole second place as the most second winning, most all-time playoff quarterback. The winner of this game, in my mind, will probably win the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody in the NFC, Philadelphia or Washington, I know Jaden Daniels having a historic year, maybe the greatest year ever as a rookie quarterback, unless you want to throw Andrew Luck in there, but I don't even think he went to the championship game. But if Mahomes wins this game, and it's at Arrowhead, there's so much on the line with what the Chiefs can accomplish. Again, a three-peat, never been done before. Mahomes' game is, if not much more, with a win over than Allen does. If Mahomes wins this game and goes on to win a Super Bowl, yes, Allen's career will always be tainted as you cannot beat Patrick Mahomes, but then it's also, okay, now it's Patrick Mahomes, no other comparison, no other story, go chase the GOAT. This is a historic game for so many people: Mahomes, Allen, Kelsey will get into a little bit later on as well, but also for that crowd that'll be at this game at 5:30 for the AFC Championship.
Yeah, it's the biggest game in Arrowhead's history, and that is not hyperbolic. That's not getting lost in the moment. There is more on the line in this game than there's ever been on the line at a game at Arrowhead Stadium in the history of Arrowhead Stadium, right? And each year that we've gone to this AFC Championship game, it's been great, it's been fun, it's been unique, it's been different, but nothing is of the magnitude of what we're about ready to see on Sunday afternoon. And quite honestly, I think it is a bigger game for Patrick Mahomes than it is for Josh Allen. And I'm not just saying that because we're sitting here in Kansas City and I'm some sort of Chiefs homer or Mahomes homer or anything like that, which I am, and that's fine. But I think when you look at what's on the line, like, we're this close. You ever get this close to something and then fall short? How many times do you get that close again, right? The Chiefs and Royals were a little bit different in their playoff runs. Usually you reach the championship game or the championship round and you fall short. You don't show back up the next year. The Royals did, the Chiefs did, and the Chiefs have continued this thing. And so you get to this point where you're doing things that have never been done before. You have to think, will that opportunity ever present itself? And this three-peat thing is so big, and it's right there. If the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes don't beat Josh Allen and the Bills on Sunday, and we use the two quarterbacks on this one, obviously, there's no guarantees that the Chiefs and Mahomes will ever be in position again to have an opportunity to go for a three-peat. Because you know why? You got to start from zero again. You got to get one. Then you got to get two. And then you've got to put yourself in that position to go for three. And so this is the opportunity that you have to take advantage of. It is right there. And, you know, I was looking through Twitter this morning, and I saw the Shawshank Redemption quote that was on a t-shirt. Get busy living or get busy dying. Well, it's time to get busy living for the Kansas City Chiefs right now, because if they go out there and they win this game, they're in rarefied air. They're going to do something that nobody else has done before. Patrick Mahomes is playing with the weight of the three-peat on his shoulders. Josh Allen is playing with the weight of America on his shoulders, because nobody wants to see the Kansas City Chiefs go out there and three-peat and do this thing outside of Kansas City. So Josh Allen's playing with all the pressure of America and everybody else rooting against the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes is playing with the pressure of history and something that may never even be close to being done again.
Zit. Don't get scared now.
Championship game coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. It just continues the blaming of the refs. Now there's video and audio of the same thing that continues to go on throughout social media. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
It's a new day. It's Wednesday. Getting less and less amount of sleep until the big one on Sunday at 5:30. Can't wait. Getting more and more amped up and excited for this game.
I wish it was the early game, though. Not going to lie about that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So the narrative that's going to go around this week, and it has gone around basically this entire year. Well, at first it was they just don't care. They're just, you know, they're bored. They're not having fun. They're just going through the motions.
Yes, it was called the regular season.
Yeah. Now it's the, you know, blame the referee narrative that the Chiefs get all the calls. And found out yesterday that Cleet Blackman, in case you're under a rock, that's the referee that is going to officiate the game. That's where we're at, fellas. We are now highlighting who the referee matchup is at every single Kansas City Chiefs game. In fact, they announced the Super Bowl referee crew as well, and he also favors the Chiefs, apparently, to the internet. This was a YouTuber yesterday. You thought the Kurt Warner audio was bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs referee has been assigned, and this is worst-case scenario. Now, to be completely honest with you, Bills fans knew going into this that we would be fighting the Kansas City Chiefs plus their most valuable player, and that just so happens to be the officiating squad. Well, let's just say that Kansas City brought their first ballot Hall of Famer, Cleet Blakeman. Now, Cleet is referee to Buffalo Bills game already this year, and it was the Bills and the Jets game at home in Buffalo where the Buffalo Bills hung up about 40 points. He's also known for refereeing that Thanksgiving game against the Detroit Lions where there was a lot of questionable calls, more specifically on the Lions side of the ball than the Buffalo Bills. Spoiler alert, that Bills team ended up winning. Now, with Kansas City, he actually has a really good record, or rather, the Chiefs have a good record with him. Did not officiate a single Chiefs game this year, but the last game he did was the Christmas Day upset when the Las Vegas Raiders beat the Kansas City Chiefs
really
in 2023. For the most part, a staggering record. Now, to get an idea of his favorite flags, here is a short list. Most notably, unnecessary roughness and also defensive pass interference, so something to think about. But hey, we knew this going in. Sound off in the comments and let me know your thoughts. But Cleet Blakeman, he's the dude.
Have we heard from anybody in Buffalo talking about the referees this week? And when I say Buffalo, I mean team-wise, like we did with Houston, you know, and how worried they were about the referees. I got to think this is not something that the Buffalo Bills are going to be talking about this week, because they've been here before. They know what they have to do, and they know deep down inside they're not playing against the referees, because Josh Allen has gotten more favorable calls this year than Patrick Mahomes has. And that's just a fact. You could look that up on the internet. I think also, too, is that Buffalo is a damn good team and they believe in themselves. They don't need to focus on the referees. Teams that are telling their players and coaches that are telling their players to focus on the referees and they're going to be a problem are losers. I mean, there's no other way to put it, because you're trying to find ways to make excuses for your team losing as opposed to saying, we're just not good enough. We're not ready to go, Houston. And so I don't think Buffalo, and you know, I'm sure the reporters up there will ask and pry and try to get them to say something, but I would guarantee you, almost guarantee you, I should say, that Sean McDermott isn't even bringing up the officials this week, because there's so much you can control, and that's something you just can't control. So focus on what you can control and not what you can't control, and go try to win a football game.
I just don't understand how, you know, people can just use this as like the defining situation in this game. Like, this is going to be an epic game. I think this game will be one of those historic games that we go back and watch, win or lose, and obviously less if you were to lose the game. But, you know, this is Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. These two guys have basically played their whole careers to play this game more than once. Mm-hmm. This is the second time they'll play this game against each other in this situation. Just so happens both times will be at Arrowhead. Sorry about that. But to use the referees to cloud the picture of what this game could be is to me, it's a little bit, I don't know, lazy. It's a little bit screams excusing. Like, why don't we just let the game play out before we even see the game play out? Houston obviously wasn't going to allow that to happen. We found that out with their media hits where they were saying, yeah, we knew going into this game. Right. Okay, well, when you say that, you've let me know already that you're using something as an excuse in case you're already thinking you're going to lose. Buffalo's not that team. Buffalo's a team that says, you know what? We can't control what we can't control. Essentially, we look forward to the challenge of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what they want. This is rivalry 1A versus 1B. This is Brady versus Manning. This is Belichick versus whoever, Dungy, whoever was the coach in Indianapolis to out those years of that run. And I thought that Chris Long made a good point, because he says, don't give me some BS take like, well, the one time I saw this, because that's not the way facts are worked out. If you have a serious claim like the Chiefs get a bunch of calls, then yeah, back it up with the Chiefs get a bunch of calls. But you know what else gets a bunch of calls? Every other effing team in the league. Just because you saw their game in primetime and you really want them to lose, you operate with a certain amount of emotion. The Chiefs don't hurt my feelings. I like greatness.
Yeah, I love greatness. I love what this team is doing. And there's nothing better than dominating like this. And I know teams and fan bases and everybody else, it's just a hard jealousy that they have going on right now. But in order to get over that jealousy, instead of being jealous of somebody, go out there and try to be better than that person. Ooh. And if you can't beat them, then you tip your cap and you say a well-played game. And I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I just don't think this is going to come down to referees. But that's all we're going to hear about. And people are going to muddy the waters. And regardless of what takes place on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening at Arrowhead, there will be somebody complaining about the referees, whether it's Mad Dog or Greenberg or NFL Network or Fox Sports or whoever the case may be. Emmanuel Acho, I haven't heard from him this week. I'm sure there will be a bunch of people complaining about the referees, because the folks that ultimately complain about the referees are the folks who just don't quite understand football and how games work and the strategy that's involved and what you have to do to go out there and win a football game. It's just easy, and it gets people riled up and it gets people to click. That's why the media overhypes weather. That's why the media overhypes everything, because it gets people emotion and it gets people to click and it elicits a response. And so if you were to say that the Kansas City Chiefs won that game because they outrushed Buffalo, people are like, oh, ho-hum. But if you say, my God, this call cost the Buffalo Bills a win against the Chiefs, that gets people riled up. That gets them to click. We're all a part of that, you know?
Boy, I'm sick of Kansas City.
Yeah. Did you see he apologized a little bit yesterday because the Chiefs tweeted out Caitlin Clark's picture as an 8-year-old in her Chiefs jersey with her whole family? And his response was, well, does she know about Super Bowl I?
What?
Who the hell knows about Super Bowl I, Grandpa? Like, most people who knew about Super Bowl I hate to say it this way, are dead.
That That's your comeback?
That was it. But does she know about Super Bowl I? And I was thinking about that. And I'm thinking about, like, you know, I'm a history guy, so I know these things. But that's me, right? Mm-hmm. When I first started at KMBZ back in 2001 and they sent me to training camp, instead of going out in River Falls, Wisconsin, I sat in the Super 8 motel and read the media guide from cover to cover. So I would know everything
like
about the Chiefs.
Pages.
It's a huge, thick, boring book. And I read that. So I would know, but I also like history. To ask a 23-year-old kid if she knows anything about Super Bowl I is one of the worst comebacks that you can have. Just because somebody doesn't know about Super Bowl I doesn't mean they're not a fan of a team, of a game that took place 58 years ago.
Yeah.
No.
Gross. Yeah, I don't. I get it. I mean, I understand that. Like, you know, you run out of things to say. But again, this is a game that is like I mentioned earlier, is getting shadowed by a bunch of excuses. And yeah. I hate that because this is going to be one of the, like, if
it's going to be a great game.
If you're a sports fan, like, what do you think the four possible outcomes are, right? Chiefs win close, Buffalo wins close. Chiefs win blowout, Buffalo wins blowout. Like,
it's going to be one of the first two, I think.
I don't think it's going to be blowout. I would love it. I would love it to be like 21-3 at halftime. Chiefs.
Yeah.
And be like, okay. All right, let's book that flight.
I'd still be super nervous.
Yeah, and I think that, and I'm glad that you bring that up, because I think the reason why, and maybe you can get in on the text line as well, 913-586-7965. I think the reason why people are nervous, and maybe this will also be towards our poll question that we'll do in a little bit, it's Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we sit here and we talk all season long, and you watch people do, like, you know, tiers of quarterbacks or Mahomes Mountain, and, you know, you see these things happen all the time, and you try to, you know, pick who's the next guy. Like, it's Mahomes, clear number one. Who's the next guy? And some people might have Burrow still, but
that bloom is falling fast.
I've
on Joe
always
Burrow.
Been Josh Allen, 6'5", 250-pound quarterback, can do it all,
right?
And is essentially the closest thing to Patrick Mahomes. Can be a stone cold killer. Is going to be an MVP. They essentially gave Josh Allen the same sort of offense they gave Mahomes 2 years ago, where they said, hey, we don't really have any big names out there, but we know that we believe in your talent and your skill set, so why don't you just go be that guy, go be Superman? He was all year. And he's the guy that seems to beat Patrick Mahomes in the regular season. He's the guy that Mahomes is closest with off the field. They're friends, but yet enemies.
Right.
And yet he's that quarterback that when you watch him, you're like, oh, man. If there's one guy that gives me any sort of doubt, that gives my Chiefs any sort of doubt, it's Josh Allen.
Yeah, but there's always going to be that second guy in professional sports.
Like, you
never
think New England
to...
was about that with Peyton Manning? Like,
yes.
Even though they beat him a lot in the playoffs, they still, every year it was Brady versus Manning. They're like, that freaking Peyton Manning guy, dude.
they beat Tom Brady more in the playoffs than
Peyton won a few times in there. Yeah,
Peyton was 3-2 in the five games.
In the five games against Brady, and so
one of them was the biggest comeback in divisional round history at the time, where they were down 21-6 in the half, and then Peyton Manning brought the team back.
And one of them was in Denver too, if I'm not mistaken, with Peyton Manning, right? Didn't he beat Tom Brady as a Denver Bronco at one point in time?
Peyton.
So he actually had the advantage at that 3-2
to Peyton,
you know, with Tom Brady. But, you know, Josh Allen is always going to be that number two guy. He's always going to be that Peyton Manning to, you know, Tom Brady and whatnot. And so I just think right now those are the two best quarterbacks this league has. And you can debate 3 through 32 if you want. You guys can sit around and debate 3 for 32. Who's 3? Who's 32? It doesn't matter. The two best are playing on Sunday, and that's what we want. And it goes back to the penalties and whatnot. And I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I'm like, don't you want to see Josh Allen? Don't you want to see Patrick Mahomes? Don't you want to see all these great quarterbacks? Yeah, I do. Okay, then we're going to protect these quarterbacks, because that's the only way that you can see them. But Josh Allen has to overcome Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Ewing had to overcome Michael Jordan. It never happened, right? You look around, like, Alex Rodriguez had to basically overcome Derek Jeter. That never happened. Sometimes you are just the number two, and that's okay. You can be a great number two. And that's where Josh Allen is right now. He's a great number two behind Patrick Mahomes. And even if he beats Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't pass Patrick Mahomes, because Patrick still has so much hardware to go. But, I mean, to sit there and think it's going to be about anything other than those two quarterbacks going out there and balling their asses off on Sunday, I think you're absolutely beside yourself, and you're working yourself into a lather. Because I think, guys, and you know, I could be totally wrong about this, this feels like one of those games of anything you can do, I can do better. Mm. I can do anything better than you. And then, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to throw a touchdown pass, and then here comes Josh.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. And that's the type of game it's going to be. I think we're on pace to see one of the it is the most important game at Arrowhead, but I think we're on pace to see one of the greatest games at Arrowhead. That's the 13-second game. It's one of the greatest games in the history of the league. But maybe we top that this year. I don't know what's going to happen. I just think it's going to be an unbelievable football game that at the end of it, whatever happens, we're all just going to be a wasted mess and just overexposed and tired and ready to melt, right? Like, it's going to be one of those games that sucks all of our energy out and we're spent and we didn't even play.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we sign up for this job when we're young bucks and we're trying to figure out why do we do this? Like, why do sports do it? I think there's like a tier of the way it becomes is, you know, you either stay a fan and, you know, you veer off and, you know, you listen on the radio and debate what you hear, which is totally fine. We love that as well. Or you're like us and you take a massive pay cut just to talk loud into a microphone and give your opinion, which obviously you start off as a sports fan, you follow a team. You then fall in love with an athlete. You then get into sports a little bit more. You start to fall in love with the sport. You start to fall in love with other sports. Then you start to fall in love with storylines. This is the exact reason why all of us, listeners, fans, media, coaches, players, this game Sunday is why you do sports. Like,
yeah.
This is the definition of what sports are. This is the best versus the best.
Right.
This is the game that decides to go to the game. You want to be the man, you got to beat the man. Ric Flair once said that back in the day in WCW or WWF, whatever it was. And Patrick Mahomes is the man. Josh Allen has been a man this year. But if you want to beat the man, you got to beat him. And I think that's one of these games where you sit back and everybody feels the same way, I think, about this game. It's not, you know, last week where it's like, yeah, we should beat Houston, then 8.5-point favorites, move to 9. Right now, the Chiefs are a 2-point favorite at home, right? You want to go back
Didn't
to the
Didn't that
old...
game start as a pick'em?
I think it was always 1.5.
Was it? Okay, I thought it started as a pick'em. So the Chiefs are a 2-point favorite right now?
Moved up a little bit, okay.
Yeah, and I think what's crazy about this and why this game is that way is you look at what the Chiefs and Bills' history is in the last 10 games. It's a dead even.
It's dead even.
5-5.
Yep.
Same amount of points scored, 251 points for each team.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Like, we talk about Saturday, the planets lining up. Damn it, the AFC's lined up with stars.
I know.
You got Kelsey, you got Mahomes, you got Allen, you got, you know, Andy Reid, you got all these players, all these superstars with all of this on the line. You talked about last week, legacy game for C.J. Stroud, legacy game for whoever. Damn it, this is a legacy game for the two quarterbacks, and I cannot wait to watch this game because of what it means and what it means for both sides. Like, again, we talked about in the lead at 6. Josh Allen wins this game. He takes those 3 losses in the playoffs and all that doubt and all that history, and he races it. Men in black, little thing.
Gone.
Boom, it's over. You just beat the Chiefs en route to a three-peat. That is the toughest dagger they've taken in the last 7 years.
Oh, it'll be worse than the Cincinnati loss if they lose this game.
It'd be worse than the Super Bowl blowout.
No doubt.
And it'd be like, damn it, it was Josh Allen. It will always be Josh Allen. Whereas, flip the script, damn it, it's always Mahomes. Now they're going to win a three-peat. And the way they did it, they beat Josh Allen in his best season ever with the Buffalo Bills, who maybe had their best season ever in the Josh Allen era. And it happened at Arrowhead, and it just so happened to be en route to a three-peat.
And then the odds will come out, and the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen will be the favorite to win the Super Bowl next year, and Josh Allen will be the favorite to win the MVP next year. But that's just kind of the way, you know, that it goes. This is a legacy game for a lot of people. It's a legacy game for Travis Kelce. And like I said earlier, we'll talk about Travis Kelce. It's a legacy game for Andy Reid because there's a lot at stake for him as a head football coach. It's a legacy game for Sean McDermott because if he loses this game, his legacy now becomes you just can't win the big one, pal. You're Marty Schottenheimer 2.0, and we may have to make a decision and move on to find the guy that can get us over the hump. Who that is at this point in time, I don't know, but it's a legacy game for Sean McDermott. It's a legacy game for Josh Allen. It's a legacy game for the Buffalo Bills. It's a legacy game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, there is so much at stake for everybody in this game. There's so much on the line for both organizations and both franchises. I don't know that we've seen a championship game of this kind of magnitude where history can be changed, where legacies can be changed, where everything that we know on a Wednesday can be totally rewritten at 7, 8, 9 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
And you know everybody's going to watch.
Of course, everybody's going to watch.
And I thought this was funny because this is from Pro Football Talk yesterday. It says, good news, Ravens and Bills averaged 42.2 million views on CBS Sunday night. The bad news is, in the same window last year, the Chiefs and Bills hit 50.4 million.
Right, because the Chiefs are a draw. People are using all these numbers, saying the numbers are down. Well, yeah, technically they are down. But you're not giving us the same product that you gave us a couple of years ago. Green Bay's not around. Dallas isn't around. like them or hate them, they draw eyeballs to the TV. And as good as that Buffalo-Baltimore game hype was, still wasn't Patrick Mahomes. You weren't hate-watching that game.
No, you people know, are you, going to be hate what parties will be had to
yeah,
hate-watch.
To hate-watch the
yes,
game.
Like,
yes. Bring it on.
Nobody Absolutely. Was hate-watching Baltimore no. versus Buffalo.
They're
That's
both
not
rooting
a,
for him.
You're watching that game, you're just like, just give me a good game.
Yes.
And we got a good game, right? But when you have a team that people hate, which is why the Yankees are always on Sunday Night Baseball and the Dodgers are always on Sunday Night Baseball, yeah. because you love them or you hate them. There's no middle ground. And that, quite frankly, is where the Chiefs are right now. We love them. Everybody else hates them. And hate watching is just as important as love watching, right? And that's what I say about us. There are people that text nasty stuff all the time. I don't care what you think. You're listening.
You're in.
And you're in, right? And that's the way it is for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
People will be locked in whether it's 30-0 or 30-30. I think it's important.
Now, if it's 30-0, you will see people, you know, go find 60 minutes or something like that. But a close game, everybody stays around.
I think 60 minutes will be on because the Chiefs game had to finish up first.
Oh, that's right. We are on CBS. Yeah, exactly.
60 minutes comes all your viewing, except for local
except
news.
For West Coast. Yeah, they'll get 60 minutes. But no, 30-0, nobody's tuning in for that one. That's when you may even bounce early out of the stadium for.
If the Chiefs are down with 2.5 quarters left, 30-0, I don't think anyone's leaving. If it's the other way, I agree. I think a lot, I think you guys are talking about legacy a lot on the line. I think it's important to remember for Josh Allen that we just went through Brady Manning 5 times in the playoffs. This will already be Josh's 4th chance. And I think it's like, oh,
and
yeah.
Brady and Manning have only met 5 times
five
in the
playoffs. 5 times in 20 years.
Yeah, see,
this will
that's
be Josh Allen's 8th year, 4th times. It's not like it's going to happen every other year. Josh Allen, this is massive. Not only the three-peat, you're going to face Mahomes again next year or the next year. Like, you might only get 3 more chances in your whole career.
And if you're Josh Allen and you lose this game, you probably should just retire.
No, no. Or just go to the NFC.
Support that. Yeah,
or go to the UFL. Or
No. Keep doing it. Give us something to watch. This gives me like the kind of vibes when it was Ohtani versus Trout in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
You know, the best versus the best.
It's awesome when you can do something like that, you know?
It's sports, man. This is why you do it. This
the
is
Dodgers
why you
versus
watch.
Themselves, the Dodgers versus their B team.
I've always said that, you know, it's a very awesome sporting event when you're emotionally invested before Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
I think
yeah.
everybody was emotionally invested on Tuesday. I think yesterday was when everybody started to get the feel. Monday, you kind of have the leftovers of the weekend. And then here comes Wednesday. You're like, oh, they're starting to speak at the podium. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, here comes the injury reports. Here comes this. And then all of a sudden, it's Friday. Everybody's wearing red, and you're ready to watch that game on Sunday with all your boys and girls and friends. And it's all of a sudden, it's on, 5:30. Mm-hmm. You talk about hate watching. I'll be hate watching the NFC Championship game, just waiting for it to get to the AFC Championship game, even though there's a lot of storylines there. We can
but
get
nobody
to as well.
Seems interested in that game whatsoever. It is like I won't see one play of that game. We'll be at the parking lot. We'll be at the game.
You'll be getting,
I'll have no idea what happens.
Nobody brings the TV to the tailgate?
We have a TV there with us, but nah, I mean, it may
you can
not
watch history, man. You see the rookie quarterback go to the Super Bowl.
Does nothing for me. I'm getting ready for our game. Like, that's I don't fair. Have time for anything else, man. It's focused in on our game. Now, if it goes to overtime and they have it on the TV inside the stadium or something, and you can spot it or something like that, fine. But I'll catch up on the NFC game the next Wednesday or something.
Exactly.
Because it's all like, I get invested. You've been there. You know what it's like, Mac. You've seen me. Like, you pour everything into that game. I don't want to know about anything else. It's let's go and get this 100%. Victory and take care of business. I ain't got time for anybody else's appetizer on Saturday or Sunday. I'm ready for our game. Like, now it's getting, you know, later in the week, and we're all getting kind of souped up for that one. And it's supposed to be a pretty nice day, about 40 degrees. It's not going to be freezing.
Hey.
And it'll be a nice, nice, nice victory.
It is Wednesday. That means Jay Binkley joins us in a little bit, probably about 5 minutes from now. Jay Binkley will be on the line, but also it is Wednesday. So remember, we do our weekly poll question. It is on the Fan 965 on X. Is Josh Allen the one opposing quarterback that gives you doubt? Yes or no? That doubt would be in your team. So is Josh Allen the one quarterback that gives you doubt? Yes or no? It is on the Fan 965. It is our Twitter poll of the week on a Wednesday for Fesco and Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, home of Jay Binkley.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into the show. Fesco and Dusty and Mac here on 96.5 The Fan on a Wednesday. Jay Binkley will be with us in just a second. You can always go to our text line, 913-586-7965, weigh in. Also, you can go to our X handle. The question this week on a Wednesday is, Josh Allen the one quarterback that gives you doubt? I think the easy answer is yes, because that's all it is, yes or no question. I know some of you will be like, nobody gives me doubt because I believe in the Chiefs. God bless you. But I do believe that there are certain players that play in the leagues of other teams that you're like, oh, man, this guy, anything could happen. I think Josh Allen is that guy. 47 votes in so far, 68% of which say that, yes, Josh Allen is the one quarterback that the Chiefs play that gives them doubt.
Gives you a little bit of doubt. I mean, like, who else would, though, at this point in time? Because it, to me, it really isn't Joe Burrow anymore. I mean, FanDuel yesterday did this Joe Burrow comparison to Andy Dalton, and everybody wants to give all this love to Joe Burrow, man. And Andy Dalton versus Joe Burrow in their first 5 years. Andy Dalton was 50-26-1. Joe Burrow's 38-30-1. Andy Dalton in his first 5 years went to the playoffs five times. Joe Burrow has only gone twice. Yards per completion, Andy Dalton 11.6, Joe Burrow 10.9. Rushing touchdowns, Andy Dalton 14, Joe Burrow 12. Pro Bowls, Andy Dalton 2, Joe Burrow 2. Now, they didn't list Super Bowls because that's Joe Burrow 1, Andy Dalton none. But from the like, oh my God, Joe Burrow is this great quarterback, his numbers are worse over the first 5 years of his career than what Andy Dalton was putting up. And Andy Dalton led his team to the playoffs more times than not. I mean, taking the Cincinnati Bengals to the playoffs five times in 5 years, that's pretty awesome. Nobody thought the Bengals were any good at that point in time, right? Nobody thought the Bengals were any good. Now we're building castles and statues and monuments to the Cincinnati Bengals, and Joe Burrow's taken him to the playoffs twice in 5 years. Andy Dalton overcame a lot when he was the quarterback, like Marvin Lewis. And a bad owner and you know, Joe Burrow's had pieces and hasn't been able to lead his team further than Andy Dalton did. That's just the facts.
It is what it is. You know who else didn't go to the playoffs? Bailey Zappi.
It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Wednesday, college football is officially over, but we got to get a reaction to a national championship game. And Binkley, I'll need your private reaction to the picture I just sent you on X. I think you'll be happy with that on a beautiful Wednesday. I sent Mac the same photo, so I'll need your reviews later. But did the right team win the national championship this year?
Yeah, I think so. It's been Ohio State, Bob's Buckeyes. It's been them. And it's funny. It's a good redemption story for Ryan Day. It just shows you when the whole world's coming down, kind of like what the Chiefs are saying and how everybody went on Ryan Day needs to be fired after losing to Michigan. Although I will say this, I think people forget the fact that he did beat Michigan his first year as a head coach, like 56-27, almost 40 bowled him. He beat him. Yes, he lost him, but I'll remind people, Jim Harbaugh lost to Ohio State five straight times, eventually wins the national title, and then was able to turn it around with three straight wins over Ohio State. But nobody wanted Jim Harbaugh fired. I mean, it parlayed right into the NFL, and everybody thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread. So why don't they do this with Ryan Day? Why didn't I hear his name being brought up in the NFL circles? He's been a quarterback coach for the Eagles and the Ravens. The guy is in the top four winningest college football coaches of all time. Why isn't he getting any run for the NFL? I don't get it, but yes, the right team won.
And he's got a sweet beard too, which is awesome. But the other thing that Ryan Day handled, Jay, was crisis at this point in time. They lose to Michigan. The flag gets planted. His family's getting death threats. It's a really, really bad situation. The team, I'm sure, is getting hate mail from, you know, people in Ashtabula, Ohio, or wherever the hell they are. And everybody's ticked off about this team losing that Michigan game. And he did an unbelievable job. And that's become a leader and led his team through what was a very tough time when you're getting death threats, people showing up at your house and threatening your family and stuff like that for a football game. I'm sure he had to lead a lot of players through a lot during that period of time. That's what a head coach is about, my friend.
Yeah, let's not also forget the amount of Tennessee fans that showed up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because Ohio State fans weren't buying it. They thought they were going to lose.
Yeah, they wanted running water, so they got out of Tennessee and went up north.
So those Tennessee fans went and showed up to the game because they were, you know, anti-Ryan Day. If I'm him, I'm double middle fingered my way out of town.
So you would leave Ohio State if you're Ryan Day?
Yeah, I'd probably stay there, but man, it'd make you want to really do those double middle fingers, man.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many. It's like the Chiefs. There's so many different media outlets. I'm shocked that he still talks to, because he did. He played along with them when ESPN wanted him fired, and their hot take talk shows wanted him fired. But yet he does, and gracious with all the time with ESPN and all that. But seriously, I mean, props to the guy because he showed a lot more strength than I would have.
What's bigger, Jay? Ryan Day's balls to call the play or Jeremiah Smith to catch the ball or Will Howard to make that throw?
You know what? There's something about that play. Oh, yes, that play was a lot of balls to throw, but you're throwing to Jeremiah Smith, so he's going to catch it. I'm shocked they didn't do it on second down, though, because Notre Dame was selling out. They were running a cover zero. They had nobody deep. I'm shocked they didn't go. I mean, I know it worked out for them fine, and they were able to get it, but I'm shocked they didn't do it on second down just so they could have third down if it happens. But instead, it was a silly Will Howard run into the heart of the defense in Notre Dame. They were selling out for the run. They had everybody in the line of scrimmage to stop the run, so I'm a little bit surprised they didn't. Chip Kelly didn't call that play on second down. Yes, it worked out for him on third down, but still surprised they didn't do it on second down. But Will Howard was amazing. He made himself a lot of money going forward in the NFL draft. That's a redemption story. I mean, Kansas State runs him out of Manhattan. He gets a big meal deal. He goes to Ohio State. He loses to Oregon because of not knowing the clock at the end of the game. All the Ohio State fans wanted Will Howard to be gone. They didn't like him, but all of a sudden he sits there and turns around and wins the national title and wins the national title game MVP, which was a redemption story for himself as well.
Speaking of an MVP and a redemption story, Josh Allen comes to the Arrowhead again. Fourth time he'll play Patrick Mahomes, third time in Patrick Mahomes' backyard. This game's going to look differently than the first game, obviously, because I don't think the victory will be on the side of Buffalo, but also because there's some players that missed the last game for the Bills: Matt Milano, Spencer Brown, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, Dwayne Smoot. For the Chiefs, Pacheco, Brown, Watson, Omenihu, and Butker. Binkley, is this why you get into sports? Is this why you love football? Is because of this game on Sunday at 5:30?
100%. I'm looking forward to this game. I'm glad it's the Buffalo Bills and the Chiefs. It's become a nice little rivalry. That station, that our sister station, Odyssey, out there in Western New York. There's a couple of them out there. I tell them every year. They always have me coming on at the beginning of the year to talk about the season. I said, oh, I'll see you guys twice. See you the regular season. We'll see you in the postseason, because this is what it's become: the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills at the end of the year. I couldn't ask for a better game. Both these quarterbacks playing at a high level. Of course, Sean McDermott, former Andy Reid assistant. It's going to be fun. And not only that, but a lot of people probably shouldn't be watching this game because of all the Chiefs hate. I saw a show on ESPN this morning saying, are the Chiefs boring? Yes or no, overwhelmingly favored the Chiefs, yet that same network, ESPN, it was the number one rated show ever on ESPN were the Kansas City Chiefs. You just read the stats out, about 50 million people watching the Chiefs and Bills last year. Four of the top five shows in America were Kansas City Chiefs games. So all these people that say they're not going to watch, they sure are watching, aren't they?
I guess so. I mean, you're pretty fired up on the X these days. You're out there just collecting receipts and taking bodies, man.
Hey, man, I'm so tired. There's a guy named Josh DeBoe from the Associated Press that's been awesome. He's been putting all these facts out there, and people just can't get it. It's got, like, highest percentages for quarterbacks getting pass interference. And Josh Allen was way ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Mm. I mean, way ahead. There's a list, laundry of quarterbacks that get calls way before Patrick Mahomes. But it's hilarious when he talks about, I mean, fewer penalty yards the other teams have gotten than the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's amazing the kind of work that he's gone through just trying to prove people. People don't like facts.
They they don't like facts at all. You give them facts, they don't know what to do. It's easy just it's just easy to have the low-hanging fruit of the referees, even though it doesn't add up. Jay, before we let you go, what has you ticked off the most about people and the Chiefs right now?
I think it's this whole narrative of the Chiefs cheat. They won't get the proper respect. I mean, going to seven straight AFC title games, I still hear this Gronk over Kelce argument and stuff like that. There's no argument. You're judged by what you do in the postseason. When you pass Jerry Rice in catches, you're on the doorstep of passing Jerry Rice in yardage. You're on the doorstep of passing Jerry Rice in touchdowns. You've made it, and you've ended the argument. You've ended the argument who the greatest ever is. Andy Reid, four wins away from Bill Belichick now in all-time postseason wins, which is incredible. He's only the fourth human being ever to coach in the NFL with over 300 wins, postseason and regular season. But you don't hear that stuff at all. You don't hear that stuff at all. We want to talk about the refs giving the Chiefs an advantage when, and in the flopping. Has anybody ever watched Josh Allen flop? The dude flops more than a fish. I mean, Josh Allen sets the bar for how you flop in the National Football League, but everybody thinks it's Mahomes. But the Bills do get a lot of crap, too. So it's going to be funny, because after this game, people are going to decide if the refs run the game or not. My suggestion is go watch pickleball. Go watch something else. Don't watch the NFL, even though America will be watching.
All right, Binkley, I know we'll be watching. You'll be watching. You take care and enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, my friends. We'll talk to you soon.
No doubt about it, JP.
Go watch pickleball.
Yeah, if you don't like it. Now he's got a vendetta against pickleball.
Binkley's out to get everybody today.
Josh Allen, he is considered Superman or the Cannon, but there are ways around getting around his talent and trying to expose him the best way you possibly can. Mac will dive into that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.